think I gave you 427. Is that what I gave you? Okay. And we're only going to get through 426 tonight. And then next time we'll come together, we'll get crucifixion and resurrection. And that will finish up the book of Matthew. So that's the plans. You know how the plans go sometimes. But that is the plan. We're going to look at tonight at the mockery. We know so much about this anyway, and I'm just going to hit on really healing tonight. I want to look at healing. This past week, this past Tuesday, I had the opportunity to. This was yesterday, wasn't it? Yes. I had opportunity to go to Harvester Chapel, and sit 4 hours in front of Oral Roberts. And listen to him share about his ministry and healing. And it was for 6 hours he shared and he talked and he taught and he shared from his innermost being. He shared some truths, and he even said, "I haven't said some of these things to anyone except my wife." And he shared some really good things. And it's kind of got me stirred up about healing. And then I come in and I prepare for this today, and that's exactly what's going to come out of me tonight is the thought of healing. We need to understand and know that healing is for today. That not only is preaching and teaching the kingdom good, but also goes along with that is healing. And we'll see that tonight. And we need to understand that we have to think of those things in the same thought. As you say a sentence and it's all in one sentence and in one breath, that's how we have to start thinking about healing. Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. And he did them all three. And when we think of healing, we have got to think of it just in the same terms as teaching and preaching. He didn't just teach and preach and heal on the side. He taught, he preached, and he healed. And we've got to understand that's part of what we're here for. We're here to heal people. And it's not only a mental inner healing. This is physical healings for disease and sicknesses, all manners of them. And we're going to be looking at that tonight. And that's the emphasis that I want to see. Then I want to pray for some people. And I just, you know, I just we just got to get back into the mindset that we can teach and we can preach. But if we're not healing people, then we're not ministering the gospel of the kingdom. We're going to be looking at that. But tonight we're looking at Matthew chapter 27, verse 26 through actually, we're not going to 58, we're going through 26 through 31. And it's the mockery, it's the section of 27 that's titled The Mockery. And it's when Jesus is scourged, and the point we'll be capitalizing on is, of course, by his stripes we're healed. And so today what we'll be looking at is to get a better picture of the scourging and what the scourging was for. And that's what we'll be thrusting at today. The mockery. Let's read verse 26 together. Read with me. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Say scourged. Scourged. By his scourging or by his stripes were healed. The word scourge means to whip. That is to lash as a public punishment. Matthew gives us this one sentence, and it's a summary of the mockery. And then he goes back and he takes time and he brings out every detail about it. But he gives us this one sentence, how they scourged Jesus and then gave him over to be crucified, and then several sentences breaking it down and describing it to us. I want to look at scourging. It's talking about a whipping, a lashing, and a public punishment. Vine's word study book tells us that our English word to flagellate comes from this word in the Greek. And I'll read this. It is the word used in Matthew 27, verse 26, and Mark 15, 15, of the scourging endured by Christ and administered by the order of Pilate. Under the Roman method of scourging, the person was stripped and tied in a bending posture to a pillar, are stretched on a frame. The scourge was made of leather thongs, weighted with sharp pieces of bone or lead. which tore the flesh of both the back and the breast. This is a historical writer. Records his having witnessed the suffering of martyrs who died under this treatment. All right, let's see if we can picture it. There would be a post. The man would be, of course, stripped down. He would be tied to the post, not in an upright hugging position like this, but he would be bent over and tied to the post. And then we'll read it in a second where Hendrickson records his recording about scourging. A man will stand on the right side and a man will stand on the left side, and they have this scourge which is made of leather pieces, and on the end of these leather pieces are pieces of bone, pieces of brass, or pieces of lead. One man will take it and whip the man from this side, and the other man stands on the other side and whips the man. And the leather pieces would be yay long, and it would go around, not only on his back, but come around into his breast area. Oftentimes, of course, with the hooking aspects of the bone, it would hook and literally tear and rip the skin. This would cause deep inflictions of lacerations that would go on down into the man. And oftentimes, as we read in Hendrickson's account, not only does it just break the skin, but the deep veins are opened up, and oft times is the entrails, the intestines, and the vital organs are exposed. And this is what Hendrickson records about this. The Roman scourge consisted of a short wooden handle to which several thongs were attached. The ends equipped with pieces of lead or brass and with sharply pointed bits of bone. The stripes were laid especially on the victim's back, bared and bent. Generally, two men were employed to administer this punishment, one lashing the victim from one side and one from the other side, with the result that the flesh was at times lacerated to such an extent that deep-seated veins and arteries, sometimes even entrails and inner organs, were exposed. Such flogging, from which Roman citizens were exempt, often resulted in death. That's from Hendrickson's New Testament commentary. So the pictures that you've seen of Christ being tied to the post are incorrect. He's literally bent over, and the lacerations are across his back naturally, but also pulling and ripping and tearing the skin and meat and flesh, even on his stomach area, and ran on his breast. Now, we all know that. We've heard about the scourging. It's difficult for me to imagine anybody going through such as this, much less the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't comprehend it. Our minds, we just don't see things like that in America. And it's so difficult for us to try to grasp the pain and the suffering and the agony that Christ went through. But here he was, and he was scourged, and he was beaten like this. And when I put that together with the thought that Isaiah says that it pleased the Father to bruise him. Now, we have to understand that Father God is not sadistic. But we have to understand that he was looking down at what this would work, what good this would do. The reason that it pleased the Father was because the only thing that ever pleases the Father is when His purposes are being fulfilled. And He's understanding that because of the scourging of Christ and because of the bruising and the wounds that are being inflicted on His mortal body, that you and I can take those same stripes, and by those stripes, because it happened to Him, you and I can obtain healing to our bodies. Because His body was bruised, our body can be healed. Because His body was beaten, our body can be made whole. And that's what it's all about. And that's why it pleased the Father to bruise Him. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 53. And I've got two translations here for us, and you have a couple also with you. But in Isaiah 53, when you picture the scourging that the Lord Jesus Christ went through and the beating that His body took for us. And then you read from Isaiah And you see how Isaiah talks about it and shares about it. And then he tells us why the beating took. And then we have places today and Christians today that don't believe in healing. To me, that's nearly blasphemy. That's nearly why I want us, as we read Isaiah, I want us to determine in our own minds, instead of get it settled in our heart, why these afflictions and stripes were given to Christ. If we can grasp why they were given to Him, why He partook of these things, then we'll have a better understanding and our faith will be heightened for healing. Because that's the only reason that He took them. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now why? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His, what? Stripes are His wounds. We are healed. I wish my board was set up and I looked quickly and I don't want to go through the time that it takes to establish it. That's okay. But if you can see that He gives us, yeah, Roger, get it for me. Once we visualize something, we have no problem. No one has problem with salvation. And I'm not only speaking of fellowships and gatherings that don't believe in divine healings for today, but I'm also talking about us. We need to have greater faith and greater understanding of the miracles of healing. We don't have any trouble with initial salvation. We know that there is initial salvation. Thank you. And he gives us these elements. He says that He was wounded. And another word there is pierced. If you have another translation, or NIV, I believe, says pierced. In fact, there is the NIV right under that. But He was pierced for our transgressions. So He was wounded and pierced for what? Our transgressions. Now, we're dealing with sin, transgressions. He was wounded and He was pierced for our transgressions. And then it says that He was bruised, and the NIV says crushed. He was crushed for our iniquities. Bruised or crushed for iniquities. Now, we're dealing with sin, aren't we? You see, how many believe that Jesus can save us from our sin? And because He was wounded and because He was pierced, then the transgressions that the human race has done can be forgiven. And because He was bruised and because He was crushed, the iniquities, the sins of us all can be forgiven. We don't have any problems with that. And we can believe that I can get saved or you can get saved or a man can get saved just that quick. But then when we get into the healing aspects of it, with His stripes, or with His wounding, we were what? Healed. Now, is all of this in the same breath? Is all of this in the same thought? Did all of this happen on the same body? Did all of this happen to the same man? Did all of this happen at the same time? Can we then alleviate this part of it and leave this? And if you try to alleviate the healing aspects of the work of Christ, does that not somehow strike you as a blasphemous statement? His body received those stripes from those Roman soldiers and was beaten. Isaiah talks about we can't hardly recognize Him. And it was beaten so that you and I can have healing today. Not only our iniquities and our transgressions forgiven and washed away, are us washed from them by the blood, but also by those striping, by that beating of that body, my body can be healed. And just as surely as sin and iniquities are forgiven, then healing is in the same work. I'm talking to me too. I mean, you know, I want to get this in Delbert. Delbert, you can teach, and Delbert, you can preach, but Delbert, if you aren't healing people, you're not doing the full work of Christ. And I want to say it to you. You can talk to people, and you can preach to people, but if you're not putting your hands on people and praying for people and getting people healed, then you neither are doing the full work of Christ. The body of Christ and what the work of Christ is to do is to heal people. It's for our personal healing, but it's also for the healing of the body of Christ. And we need to understand that all of this is in the same work. And to, what if we just said, well, he just died so we could be healed? It's just as bad. He died so that we could be saved and healed. And we really have got to understand that. Take of my body. And it's for the healing. I really want to get this into me, so I'm talking to me. Because you see, it's my responsibility to make sure people get prayed for when they're sick. I wasn't going to say this because it kind of adds a negative thought, but I don't want to add the negative, but I want to capitalize on the positive of the thought. Earl Roberts said, I pray for more people that weren't healed than any man on earth. But you got to understand what he's saying. He's also prayed and had more people healed than any man on earth, because he's prayed for more people than any man on earth. And I believe there's a day when it won't be some, it'll be all. But until it's all, I still got to pray for some. We got to get some healed. And this is I just wanted to grab us tonight and concentrate that not only is the kingdom of God teaching and preaching, but it's healing. And let's look in the book of Matthew chapter 4, because the same Christ that taught and the same Christ that preached healed. And it's a bigger part of the message as praise and worship. It's the biggest part of the message as anything, as preaching and teaching. I've ministered to all of you through preaching and teaching. I've helped you with your lives and get some repentance and thinking in proper orders and show you things in scriptures. And that's what I'm here for, and that is true. But I want to see more healing. That's what I'm capitalizing on tonight. We need to do more healing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Now, we could say that you and I went about all of Fayette or all of Chickamauga. And we went about all of it. Are we all? Is that what we're supposed to do? Yeah. And what should we do? If we're following what Christ did and the aspects that he set up for us to do, what do we do? Teach. What's the second one? Preach. Preach what? Gospel of the kingdom. Forget what you're preaching. Another word for preaching is proclaiming. That may be better. We all may not be preachers, but we can all proclaim. We all may not be teachers, but we can live a lifestyle that instructs people and it shows people how you're to live. Teaching and preaching. And what was the third one? Healing. Healing every disease and sickness. Now, it's amazing to me of the born-again believers today who do not believe in healing for the New Testament or healing for the church today. And they pray a prayer something like, if it be thy will, heal him, Lord. Heal her, Lord. But did you know that Jesus never prayed that? Jesus never said, Father, if it's your will, heal him. He said, come out of him or come out of her, you disease, you sickness. He spoke to it, but he didn't pray for it. That's one thing that Oral Roberts said. He says, you don't pray for diseases and sicknesses. He says that is a living mass inside that being. You don't pray for it. You command it to come out. And he shared with the prayer that he had as he was a young boy, 17 years old, with leukemia, tuberculosis. And the prayer that the man prayed over him to set him free. May share some more about that. But Jesus taught and he preached and he healed. And we have a lot of teaching and a lot of preaching. But we need to see more healing in the body of Christ. More healing. I'm on page 425. To say that healing is not for today is blasphemous. By the stripes of the wounds that he suffered that day, we are healed. And what I'm wanting us to say that healing is not for today is the same thing as to say that salvation is not for today. Do you see? I'm going to try to say it different ways because it's so important that we grasp this. The same wounds and stripes, the same flagellating, the same beating that brought our the removal of our transgressions and the removal of our iniquities is the same beating that brings our healing. And those three are in the same thought to me. And I got to get these three in the same thought, to teach and to preach and to heal. When I speak of the gospel of the kingdom, then that is what the gospel of the kingdom entails. It entails teaching and preaching and healing. And that kind of exploded in me today. And you can see the times here where in scriptural healing that I've just got listed. I'm reading number 2. The word healed, by the way, means to cure. It doesn't talk about inner healing. It means to mend by stitching. That is to cure. So we're not talking about mental healing or that kind of healing. We're talking about physical healing. And it's the same in the New Testament. And then that little number 2. The day that Christ was scourged, the price was paid for my and your healing. By the ripping and the tearing of his body, my body is mended. The pouring out of his blood gave me a new covenant and salvation from sin. But the ripping and the tearing and the piercing of his body by his wounds gave me healing. The same Christ Jesus who gave me salvation also gave me healing. To say this is not is a lie and blasphemous. Jesus went about ministering to people. And the way he ministered to people was he taught them, he preached to them, and he healed them. So if I go about ministering in Lafayette, how do I go about ministering if I want to be like Christ? Teaching, preaching, and healing. Now, I've got all these scriptures that are in the New Testament about healing. And I don't have to teach you about, you know healing's real. You believe in it. But this is just to edify our faith. This is to build us up. I think it's good sometimes to look at the crucifixion and look at things that we know a good bit about just to get us more familiar with it and to get us stirred up about some things. For example, in our services, we run out of time. And so we say, well, if you got any healing that you need, anything you want to be prayed for, then you hang around after the service and we'll pray for you. And immediately that sets the sphere, well, maybe they'll pray for me if they've got time. Maybe God will heal me if he's got time. No, Jesus taught and he preached and he healed. I'm talking to myself. We got to give people time to be healed. We got to pray for people. We can teach and preach, but we've got to heal. That's it. What if we did that without taking up the offering, huh? Well, if you got time, you can hang around and give something. we give emphasis, you see, to what's important to us.
We shouldn't have to take the offering anyway.
That's right. I ought to come and give. I'll walk in and give. Oh, my. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. All right. Matthew chapter 10. I want to look at just a couple. While we're here in Matthew, look at chapter 10. Now, what we're looking at, and that should be not 10, 19 in your notes. It should be 1 through 9. Okay, that should be Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 9. I missed the dash. Reading verse 1 only. How many is a disciple of Christ? You're a disciple, you're a learner after Him. That's what disciple means, is to be a learner. Have your mind changed to learn about Him. Well, if we're a disciple of Christ, then we have been given power to heal. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them what? Power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal some sicknesses and an occasional disease. All manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Now that's the power, that's the authority, that's the dunamis that we have got as believers. Did His disciples do it? Did they go about healing people? They did. Because then He says the kingdom has come. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, well, let's get Mark 16 as we're working our way across. I'm not going to turn to all these. Mark 16, just getting a few of these. Mark 16 is the Great Commission. Jesus is ascending. He's just before ascending. And He's going to tell us in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. But I want to read verse 15 through 18. Verse 14. Afterward He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. Now, how many understand there is some unbelief in the body of Christ? And we need to be upbraided sometimes, don't we? We need somebody to grab us and shake us. I do. I really do. Because, you know, I get so into making sure that we're taught or preached or I do what I'm supposed to do, that I leave off the important things of healing someone. And I need to be upbraided. And I'm getting upbraided tonight. The Lord's come into my eating tonight, in my spiritual eating, and He's upbraiding me a little bit because I've got off track a little. And verse 15 says, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs," these credentials of believers, these things, these signs, these credentials shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up the serpents. Now, we haven't got a revelation on that one yet. I know about these other ones, though, and I'm walking in these other ones. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And here it is. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, who does this? Believers. Do you see that? It's so important that we see if we're believers, then we're supposed to be laying hands on people. We're supposed to be getting people healed. We're supposed to be going about teaching, preaching, and healing. 1 Corinthians 12, and that's the last one we'll turn to in all of these. But we need to understand that it is a gift. It wasn't just for Christ. And what I want to point us out here is that these gifts are given to the believers. These gifts are given to the body of Christ. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. Verse 6, quit it, Willis. "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." Do we have the same God that Jesus had? "But the manifestation of the Spirit." Do we have the same Spirit that Christ had? Same Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. How many men is given this Spirit? Every one of us. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another," say it, "gifts of healing." Say it right now. Gifts of healing. The gifts is plural. Do you see that? The healing is singular. There's only one healer, but you may get healed in different kinds of ways. Gifts of healing. You may get prayed for. You may go to a doctor. But the gifts of healing. And it's by the same Spirit to another the working of miracles, and you know the rest of it. But it is given to the church. It's given to the body of Christ. It's given to the believers, every one of us. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one of the selfsame Spirit divideth to how many men? Every man, severally, as he will. So we are to go about teaching and preaching and healing. It's given to the body of Christ. It's given to us to do these things. We are the body of Christ. Mark 4:23, we're not turning to it. Just want to run down through these. Jesus went out teaching, preaching, healing sickness and disease. And the thought that I just brought out here is that is this the administration of the gospel of the kingdom? These signs follow them that believe. They do not only teach, they do not only preach, but they also heal. In 8:3 of Matthew, it talks about the healing of the leper. 8:16 in Mark 1:31, it talks about healing Peter's mother-in-law. Chapter 9, verse 35 of Matthew, it talks about healing and how it's incorporated into the gospel. 12:13, the withered hand. 12:22, the blind and the dumb men healed. 14:36, many who just touched his garment were healed. 15:30, the lame and the blind and the dumb. And all of those are in the New Testament, and these were done by Jesus. But when you come down to Acts chapter 3, verse 7, there's a man at the gate called Beautiful, and he's healed by Peter and John. And then Peter's shadow heals people. And then Peter healed the man with palsy, and Peter healed the cripple. Paul healed the cripple at Lystra, and Paul healed with handkerchiefs and aprons, and Paul healed with on the shipwrecked island. Healing is in the New Testament. Now Peter was with Jesus, but was Paul? Paul was a post-ascension apostle. Peter walked with Jesus, and I'm sure that Christ probably laid his hand on Peter and imparted into Peter some things. But he never did it to Paul. Now, Paul saw him in a vision. But it never says that Jesus laid his hand on Paul. Who laid his hand on Paul? Ananias. This little full gospel preacher over on the wrong side of the street called Straight, on the wrong side of the tracks. Here went Paul, this little Pentecostal church, got hands laid on him, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and started healing people. Well, what I'm wanting us to see is that healing is still for today. And I know that you know this, but I'm talking to Delbert too. We need to spend more time healing people. James chapter 5 in your Bible. James 5. Let's read that one. And then we'll begin to close it up. I still want to look at this in the lexicon, Doug, and where are you at? And see how that reads. Doug showed me how it reads in the King James Bible, and it talks about sins being forgiven and then healing coming. And in some of the other translations, it's not quite as clear. But in James chapter 5, verse 14, is any sick among you? Are there? Are there any sick among us? Well, here's what you're supposed to do. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. What will that prayer do? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Do you realize that even sins can be forgiven by the prayer of an elder? Well, you know, we have not yet grasped the spiritual authority and submission of the Scriptures. I don't want, you know, some of these things that I read, I really don't want, because I don't want to be responsible for some of the things that I read about and see what New Testament ministry is responsible for. But I'll be glad when we do begin to get a glimpse of it and start coming into some things. But can we be healed by the prayer of the eldership? Anointed with oil, prayed over, anointed with oil, and healed. God will raise us up. The Lord will raise us up. Now, that's the first one. Then look at verse 16. Confess your faults, your translation may say sins, one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. What keeps us from getting our healings according to these two verses sometimes? Sin. I'm not saying sin is why you've got it, but sin can keep you from getting a healing. And sometimes you just need to be prayed over so that sin will be forgiven you, that you can get your healing. And sometimes you need to confess your sins. Not to God. He knows about it. But to who? To one another. Now, there's some heavy things in here. And you know, I wish that I had just maybe just studied healing a little bit and brought out some of these thoughts that the Lord is just right now as I'm speaking these things, showing me. But a lot of people aren't healed because of sin in their life. And they won't go to the elders because they're mad at the elders anyway, you know. And they don't like the way things run, and they've got bitterness in their heart, and they can't get a healing, and they don't understand why. Are they?
And you buzz your elders.
They get mad at them too, but there may be sin in an individual's life. There's something like that, you know, that I'm just bringing some things out here that I'm seeing, and I haven't written about this. This is just some things that just a second. The Lord is just starting to open up to me. But we want to be healed. Healing is a major part of the New Testament. Do you see that? We know that teaching is. We know that preaching is. We've got to get a better mindset about healing. Now, you got to bear with me because I have just sat in front of Oral Roberts for 6 hours. And he's really got, he imparted into me. And he got me stirred up some. But I needed stirring up. I needed it. The eldership anoints. We can be healed. We can confess our sins to one another. We can be healed. But what made all this possible? What made all these healing scriptures that we've just looked at and read, what made all that possible? What made the healings that you have had and that you attribute to the Holy Spirit or to the Lord Jesus Christ or to the power of God Almighty? What attributes the healings? Where did all that come from? What made that possible? His stripes. His stripes. By His stripes, you're healed. Oral Roberts kept saying, he says, I am so tired of hearing people pray a prayer. Lord, if it's your will, Lord, if it's your will, heal them. He says, it's always the Lord's will. He attributed healing in a very lovely way. And I know we've all heard pretty much this example given on one thing or the other, faith or whatever that it is. But he said healing, when a man lays his hand on you or something like that happens, a point of contact. And I know you've all heard him talk about the point of contact. But he says it's like a switch on the wall that turns the lights on and off. He said the switch hasn't got the power. The power is not in the switch. The power plant is miles away. That's where the power is at. But what the switch does is just the point of contact. And that switch has to be turned on to get the power into your life. And I think that what we've got to understand is, what is the power? What is the switch? We know what the power is. What's the switch that will bring our healing? Is it a sin? Is it getting the elders to pray over us? What is the switch? I guess my walk with the Lord since it all began is I've sought answers. I want answers, and I search for pieces of the puzzle. And you know how I look at the scriptures. It's just a huge puzzle, and it's like putting a piece of the puzzle together, a puzzle together. If it's a snow scene, you've got the blue sky and the green trees, or maybe they're not green, evergreens maybe, and the brown trees, and then the snow slopes. And all these colors, you know, are kind of together. Well, you don't try to put the whites in up here with the blue sky or the brown trees. You get the whites go together and the browns go together and the blues go together. And you kind of put the puzzle together like that. You get the corner pieces and you start putting the puzzle together. When a piece doesn't fit, do you throw it away? Do you cut it and make it fit? Or do you lay it over to the side until you get to where that piece fits? My whole walk with the Lord has been that way. There's a lot of pieces that haven't fit yet. But I don't throw them away. I put them over to the side until I get to that piece. And finally, sooner or later, I know that piece is going to fit. And it's the same way with healing. Everybody's wanted to understand healing. They've wanted to find the piece that made the puzzle fit together and cause everybody to be healed. Well, it hasn't been given yet. We haven't got that far in the puzzle. But some of the puzzle works. And some of it's together. And until we get that very piece that makes everybody healed that we lay our hands on, then we've got to pray for those that we can. Heal as many as the Lord will allow. Touch as many lives as we can. We can preach and teach. We've got to get our mind on healing. Healing. But on top of page 426, and I'll just knock this out really quick. In the book of John, chapter 18 and 19, probably gives the best portrayal of the mockery and the crucifixion, the trial before Pilate. It's probably better than Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And we find there that literally Jesus was scourged prior to the sentencing. Pilate really wanted to let Jesus go. We looked at that last week. There was five times that he tried to allow Christ to go, but he didn't, and he couldn't because the crowd, all of Israel, said crucify him. So he did, but the scourging literally took place before the sentencing in the book of John. You can read that for yourself. John chapter 19, verse 10 through 11 was interesting to me. Pilate said, "Don't you understand that I've got a power and authority to do whatever I want to do with you?" And he says, "You can't do a thing, man. See, my Father has given you the power and the authority to do anything that he wants you to do. You can't do a thing without with his power and his authority." And that was really interesting to me to see how the Lord addressed him with that. Pilate's authority, I look at him in the same way as I look at Pharaoh or anybody else. Judas, they were raised. They had to do what they had to do. They were raised for that time, that purpose. 27 through 31, it talks here about the mockery that Christ went through. And I'm not going to read it, but it talks about how they stripped him and how they put that scarlet robe on him and mocked him, how they braided together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, how they took a reed that they had given him and put it in his right hand. Then they took that reed out of his hand and hit him with it. How they bowed before him, how they spit on him. Then after they mocked him, took the robe off him, put his own clothes back on him, and took him away to crucify. Through all of that, Christ never said a word. Never said a word. He held his peace, Willis. Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8 says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter." Just the final thought that I want to project to us today. I really believe there are a lot of times when the Lord's bringing us to a slaughter, and we mess it all up by opening our mouths. We try to defend ourselves. We try to defend. "Shall be drawn unto me." Not a single power on earth can keep you from being drawn to Christ once you see Him. Is that what the Scripture says? He says, "And I, and even I, if I be lifted up, as the serpent was with Moses, then all men shall be drawn unto me." He didn't leave anybody out. He says, all men. When people see Christ, they'll be drawn to Christ. Not a power can stop that. We botch it all up by opening our mouths. Lord, help us. I believe that there's been many times that I have been planned for the slaughter, planned to be lifted up so that people could be drawn to Christ, and I talk too much, and I spoil the whole thing. And they led him away to crucify him. Next week, we're going to look at crucify. It's the Greek word storu. It means to impale, to make helpless, as if by fixing upon a stake. It means to extinguish. The thought that I'm bringing out right here is extinguish. They thought they were going to extinguish the Christ. They were leading him away to extinguish him. That was the amber that became a flame that can never be extinguished. That was the rock the size of a hand cut out of a mountain And it came and it crushed to powder every other kingdom. That's the flame that will burn this whole earth. Could not extinguish him. They led him away to steru him. They led him away to impale him upon a stake to extinguish him. But little did they know, he could never be extinguished. Next week we're going to talk about steru. We're going to see if it was a T cross or an X cross or an I cross that Jesus was most likely crucified on. Not that it really matters. He was crucified. We'll see if maybe again pagan rituals has not even influenced our thinking on the cross. I believe it has. But tonight, healing. The Lord's talking to us about healing. He's not talking to us tonight about teaching, and he's not talking tonight to us about preaching or proclaiming. The Lord, the Spirit of God, is speaking to our fellowship tonight about healing. Healing. And if we're believers, and we are, we need to be healing people. We need to be laying our hands upon people and being the switch that turns the power on. Being the point of contact that individual has with the power station. Being what turns the light on in their darkness. Let's pray.